Welcome to the E-commerce Made Simple podcast. I'm Jérôme de Guigné, your host today. Today we're going to talk about a topic we are very much involved in, which is content syndication and content management, and how the technology can help you be more efficient and be able to handle multiple countries with multiple languages with a lot of different contents. And our guest is Sarah Fishbaugh from Salsify, which is one of the leading tools in this ecosystem. It's called the PIM tool, PIM and syndication tool.
I hear the word PIM, and all, yeah, you could see me looking there, couldn't you? Sorry for everybody who's just listening to this, because I was just looking totally confused, because I, as everybody I think who listens to this by now knows, I do a lot of the creative stuff for Jérôme, but also I don't understand any of the creative stuff. I can make the nice things, but I still don't understand what things mean. So what is a PIM? What does that mean?
So a PIM, you've got like two acronyms in a name. So DAM, PIM, and syndication. So it's a bit like a pyramid, let's say. The base is a DAM, a digital asset management tool. So basically you put all your stuff there. So let's say you have closes, you put all everywhere somewhere, and that's called the DAM. The top part is a PIM, so it's a product information management tool. So basically it takes all the different closes from the same suit, let's say. So we'll take the shirt and put all the shirt, the trousers, the pants, the vest and everything together, and the tie, which goes with one, let's say, set or one product, for example. So the PIM makes sense of all the content you've put inside the system. And then you've got the last part of the pyramid, the triangle part at the part at the top, which is syndication, which is to send content or send, let's say, if we take the garments from your closet to someone else's closet, for example. So in this case, is for example, you put all your content of your products into your own Salsify entity or system software, and then you send it to Amazon, you send it to eBay, you send it to whichever retailer you want, and it's automated. And that makes a very big difference for anyone who wants to be successful and has got a big catalog.
That saves a lot of work. That's amazing. Because I have just sold about five comic books from the 1950s on eBay, and even that I couldn't be bothered with. So if you're a stockist or somebody or a manufacturer who sells a million different types of shirts, to get it all out in one go sounds fantastic. I'm excited about that. I wish you'd have told me about this about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, you see, it's never too late. It's a bit like a CRM is like handling all your contacts. It's very complicated. You need one place to handle everything. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. So enjoy the show.
So just as the lady has said, the recording has started and we can start with this new session of our webinar on Salsify. So I'm super excited to have Sarah today about Salsify, because it's one of our favorite topics and it's also one which has got a lot of impact for all the brands we work with. And I don't know if people have seen on social media, but I've seen on LinkedIn, Salsify just shared a case study on Mars. And there are a lot of people on Mars speaking on a video, and they boast that they've saved 60,000 hours of manpower by using Salsify. So it's like, wow, mind blowing. And I think the second KPI was a sales growth of 200 times. So I can't remember this one specifically, but it's like, okay. So I thought, okay, let's start with this kind of number. With Salsify, you can reduce your time by 60,000 hours, or like the manpower, and use those manpower to do other things, like deal with Amazon, for example. So the point of today, or the topic of this webinar, is about, okay, how to scale and how to expand your business on marketplaces. And sometimes it's about saving time and going quicker. So this will be the topic of today. But this is a very long introduction. If you've come to our webinars before, you will know that we always start with a fun fact about our guests. So Sarah, before getting to know you on your business side, we would like to know one fun fact about yourself.
Okay, so my fun fact, while maybe not so fun, I have spent basically all of my time now, especially in the pandemic world, with my golden doodle. Her name is Sadie. And so she spends a lot of time outside, and I've had a lot of fun. She's about a year old, a lot of fun training her. She's a little wild and crazy, but she's been such a treat to get to know and to train. And so I spend all of my time outside of work with Sadie, my puppy.
A dog lady, we love that. So pets and dogs will be a bit about your story too, but we'll come back to that in a moment. Could you tell us a bit more about the professional life and who you are and what you do inside Salsify?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much for inviting me, Jerome. But I have been with Salsify for about 3 or 4 months now. So I'm still fairly new, but not new to the unique challenges that Salsify is able to address for brands. I'm the product marketing manager for Salsify Activation. And so we're really focused primarily on helping brands get their product content to retail endpoints. And like I said, I've been here for just a few months now, but I'm pretty familiar with a lot of the challenges that brands experience when trying to sell online.
Yeah, and I'd like to dive into that, because if people look at your profile, they will see that you've been working in a brand, a pet, like pet access or pet foods or pet industry brand. And so you worked, and if I remember well, you worked with Salsify at that point. So the pet industry for specifically for e-commerce and Amazon is really good because it sells super well, lots of demand. And usually it's very big catalogs, big sales. And I assume that using Salsify was probably a game changer also at that time, right? Managing the big catalog in the US. Could you share a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, I worked in the pet food space, and you know, it was really interesting because when our brand was really picking up speed and really we were driving a lot of market share, we were fairly new to e-commerce. And so it was really important to us. We recognized the impact that e-commerce will have on our business. And we wanted to make sure that we could get online to as many destinations as we could. Amazon was our focus, that and Walmart. And so, you know, what we'd found, you know, in a situation outside of Salsify was getting our content there to those retail endpoints was really challenging. It's a pretty manual process of compiling all of our product data. And so we ended up using Salsify. Now, it was in a condensed version where we primarily focused on using Salsify as our PIM and DAM. And so we aggregated all of our product content into that one solution to more seamlessly syndicate our product content to Amazon and Walmart and other destinations. It saves us a tremendous amount of time because otherwise, brands, when they want to send content to Amazon or any other retail destination, often get these item setup sheets, which are large spreadsheets where they have to manually copy and paste all their product attributes into those spreadsheets and then send it over to the endpoint. Salsify is able to eventually eliminate all that time spent and automatically fill out those item setup sheets or automatically send the content over to those endpoints. So it was great to be able to use that and save so much time. That way we're able to better optimize our business and focus on other areas of growing our e-commerce presence rather than just getting our content up on live.
So you just mentioned DAM and PIM. Maybe we could explain those terms maybe for some of the audience who don't know about that. So what's a DAM? What's a PIM? What does it do?
Yeah, absolutely. So a PIM is a product information management. And so with Salsify, we're able to aggregate and bring all of a product information to one centralized location. So product information could consist of product title, marketing copy, such as descriptions and feature bullets, but it also aggregates data such as dimensions, pricing, color, weight. All of that product information is in one central spot in Salsify. And then DAM is the creative and more digital assets side of it. So DAM stands for digital asset management. And so it really focuses on bringing all the imagery and video content for those products into, again, one centralized location. With Salsify, you're able to bring all that PIM and DAM information together in one spot.
Great. Thank you very much for sharing that. So one thing is, sometimes I feel when you hear about those big tools that everything is beautiful and everybody says, wow, it's amazing. You will only have great things. I'd like to get for our audience to a bit manage expectations also and say, okay, what were the main pain points you remember when you were working in this pit brand? What were the main pain points, like in terms of what did you have to learn or issues about understanding or maybe issues with some of the marketplaces? Could you give us a bit of what's the real life of using a tool like Salsify?
Yeah, so outside of Salsify, oftentimes brands, and we were no different, where we housed all of our product information in a lot of different locations. There's a lot of siloed and uncollaborative processes between our different departments and teams. So say imagery might be housed in a separate drive or a folder than our product dimensions or product information. And so Salsify, again, brings everything together. Because all the retailers are asking for different information about products, having products housed in different locations throughout the organization is challenging, because when Amazon is asking for imagery and say three feature bullets and a product description that's 200 characters, and I'm using these as just examples for their requirements, it's really hard to be able to have to search at different locations throughout the organization to compile the information and then send it over to Amazon. With Salsify, it brings everything together. So you have one central source of truth for all of your product information. And then from there, you're more easily able to send that content directly to Amazon. There's no need to spend time pulling it all together, going back and forth with your brand teams or with your innovation product teams or with regulatory either. You can have it all together, all ready to go, kind of like a package deal that you can send directly to Amazon.
Yeah, it's clearly it saves a lot of time. But did you have things where you remembered that or pain points or things which were difficult when using, like changing from, okay, sometimes you have processes where you have your own drive, your own things, you know, and it's all going well. And then you have to go to adapt to a tool. It's like having a new CRM, like you're having Salesforce, you need to change some of your processes. Do you have some of the things which can be tough for an organization of implementing such a big tool? Because it does ask you to rethink a bit about your processes and improve, right? But you have some things which can put the organization under stress, right? Could you share a bit of your experience with that?
Absolutely. There's always going to be concerns related to change management. Change is inevitable, but it's always hard. And so moving from one process that the company is familiar with to another is always going to come with some level of uncertainty. But the nice thing about Salsify is, one, we have a really dedicated implementation team where they can kind of take the brand from pre-Salsify all the way through a complete onboarding. So we work directly with our brands to make sure that we are aggregating their data, getting all the information that they have through all the disparate accounts and all the disparate sources of information. And our team takes a lot of the heavy lifting out of onboarding. We make sure all of the products are mapped how some of their retail endpoints would require them. We make sure that the brands also know how to effectively use the data in Salsify. We also have a nice, robust, what we call our knowledge base, which is a huge repository of resources for our brands to also leverage to learn more about Salsify and how to use the tool. Because we want to make sure that you're effective and you're able to drive positive business outcomes for the company. It's always a bummer when you move to a new system and it doesn't really drive the value that you heard so much about pre-implementation. With Salsify, we want to make sure that we can truly deliver on all of the value that we promised throughout that process. And so that's why it's so important that our implementation and knowledge resources are available to our customers.
Yeah, and I can share, because we're doing a lot of the implementation also for some of the customers, that a pain point which the brands have to take care is to get trained, and that the once we don't take the time to get trained, to understand, to have the teams understand, then it becomes a nightmare because nobody really understands it. And they say, oh, I have this tool, I don't know how to use it. And they need to spend that time to to get trained. And I think that the training time is, you have the certification is something like 15 hours, right, of courses, mm-hmm. online courses, which is really well made, but you have to go through that, right, if you really want to make the most of the tool.
Absolutely. And I think it's neat too. You can go through the certification. You can get a certification to add to your LinkedIn profile as well, have some bragging rights associated with it too. But ultimately, we do that because we want you to be successful. If you're going to invest in a new system, we want to make sure that you're using it to its fullest capacity. And again, driving business value and being able to understand all the ins and outs. E-commerce is tricky. It's always changing too. And we want to make sure that Salsify continues to evolve and adapt to those e-commerce changes. But we also want to make sure our brand customers are aware of those changes and can use the tool as we roll out new features.
Cool. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Now, we would talked a bit earlier about DAM, PIM, and there's another, like I always say, it's like a rocket, right? You have the base, which is the DAM, then you have the PIM, which is organizing the DAM, and then you have the syndication part. Can you tell us, explain us what is syndication and why is Salsify special about syndication, maybe?
Mm-hmm. So syndication is the process for which product content, like I said, product titles, feature bullets, descriptions, and images, all that PIM and DAM information is published to retail endpoints. So Salsify, when we're thinking about syndication, we really rely on our connection capabilities. We leverage unique and varied connections, like direct automated connections and templated exports, so that we can send content to the retail endpoints however the retail needs to receive the content. So there's going to be certain retailers who, again, ask for certain attributes for product content or ask for certain images that other retailers don't. But Salsify is able to identify what they need and send that content to syndicate that content directly to those retail endpoints.
And you, when you were working with your pet brand, do you remember how many, so you talked about Amazon, Walmart, did you have other platforms you were sending content to?
Yeah, so we primarily focused on Amazon and Walmart, but we also had others. We used Target as well, and then a lot of grocery. The pet food that we sold was available in a lot of different grocery chains across the United States. And so we probably had in total, I would say 30 or 40 different retail endpoints that we needed to send content to. Now, certainly some of those retail endpoints didn't have all the technical capabilities that say an Amazon or Walmart had, where Amazon and Walmart would rely on APIs so we could send that connection through automated connections in Salsify. Some required still templated exports. So we would use those item setup sheets, but Salsify would automatically fill out those item setup sheets. So the brand customers no longer needed to spend the time doing that, but we could still syndicate out to all the endpoints that we had within our network of retailers.
And were you sending it also to your own website? Did you have that feature?
We did not, because we weren't using our own website as direct to consumer. But the nice benefit about Salsify is that if you do have your own direct to consumer website where you're shipping product out, you can also leverage Salsify. We can syndicate in a very similar way using that PIM and DAM information that's already aggregated and contained within Salsify and syndicate directly to, say, a Shopify a location as well.
Yeah, that's Shopify is one of the big website sort of platform, and that works very well. Do you have like it says, and from my experience, you connect to all the major marketplaces in the world, right? There's no limit, right, to the syndication. Sometimes some websites don't have the capability, or marketplaces don't have the capability to be linked to a syndication tool, and then you have an export of a template, right? So the system will export an XML file, which you will be able to re-upload automatically into the marketplace. Is that correct?
Yep, that's exactly correct. So that's the templated export. And so it really is leveraging a lot of item setup sheets or whatever the endpoint would require. But again, because all the product information is already in Salsify, Salsify is able to automatically populate those item templates and send them over to the endpoint. That way, the brand customers, you don't have to spend the time manually pasting in all those product attributes, Salsify takes care of the heavy lifting and sends those over to, say, an endpoint that doesn't have an API connection.
And is it possible that for whatever reason, the content cannot go to a platform, or that it's blocked, or that there's an issue on the platform itself? Does that happen, just to be open about such situations?
It can certainly happen, and we really actively look to address any of those challenges that happen. Occasionally, there will be times where a publication has an error and it doesn't go through. Oftentimes, our customers are able to go in and just resubmit that content and it'll go through. The one thing to note is that some retailers do have a process where they still need to review and approve the content before it goes live. So there is a bit of a window where if a content is sent via API, for instance, the retail endpoint, let's say Amazon, for instance, may want to review that content just to make sure it's meeting all of their requirements before it gets sent over. Of course, with the readiness report that Salsify offers, we know it hits their requirements, but they just have an extra layer of protection, and they go through and review that content one last time before it's published.
Yeah, so it's like there is to share with the audience that there can be a bottleneck on the marketplace side. It's the same with Amazon. If Amazon has an issue with a catalog, or there is an issue about the way they score, the IDQ score they have the products, for example, that's on the Amazon side. It's just that I think it's important to say also that Salsify mm-hmm. doesn't make miracles and doesn't solve Amazon internal issues about cataloging. And that's fair to say that it still provides you a lot of clarity and helps you streamline your process of getting content to those platforms. But the platforms, and specifically Amazon, because we spend a lot of time with that, is also Amazon can have a roadblock. It's just that Salsify will have made you save so much time that you can address it, the Amazon issue. But it's also because why we are also partnering is because we bring Amazon knowledge and you bring the tool. One thing I wanted to talk about is in your experience. So it's very interesting. You worked on from a brand, a product brand, and then you worked mm-hmm. in the social media world. I know mm-hmm. that Salsify says that you can syndicate also content to social media, and I think that's something which is less well known. So can you tell us a bit more about it? So what kind of content can you syndicate to social media? How does that work? Do you connect the same way to Facebook, to TikTok, to Instagram? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. Social commerce is a continually growing channel where it's honestly newer to me as well. I started to see more abilities to make purchases through Instagram over the past year or so, something that I hadn't noticed prior. And it's really neat. And it honestly works very similar to how you would syndicate product content to any other retail endpoint. Because Salsify offers the most number of connections, whether it's a templated export or a direct connection or an API, we can use automated connections to syndicate directly to social commerce. So Facebook and Instagram are specifically ones that we focus on, where it works very similar. And because more and more consumers are realizing that there are capabilities to make purchases on social, we recognize it's going to be a continuing growing channel. You can use all the PIM and DAM information that's already in Salsify and send that directly to your social endpoints. Typically, the requirements for social may be a little more streamlined, where they may not have the real estate to add as many descriptions or feature bullets. But again, it operates in the same way where you're able to leverage a readiness report in Salsify. It'll tell you exactly what attributes can be published to those social endpoints, whether it's a product and a brief description. You can also include imagery to send over directly to those social channels too, and you'll be able to publish that via an automated connection.
And could you, for example, plan publishing of banners or pictures or typical social media like posts? Can you plan that with a tool? Is that something you could use a bit like a social media tool? for that? The same? Does it work the same way, or
it's a little different? Where you wouldn't necessarily be able to schedule posts to go out, and in particular, you want to make sure it's clear that you're not able to publish the actual social post that may be on your feed, but to a dedicated social shop. So it's likely attached to your brand's account, but it's a separate social shop where customers can actually go in and make purchases directly through your brand's page, just separate from your individual brand posts.
Okay, so it's really social commerce and not really posting on your wall or whatever. It's really on the Google shop or Facebook shop or now Instagram, now TikTok. That's those like web shops with this e-commerce functionality. But that's still amazing, because the those new shopping experiences with Facebook, with Instagram, Instagram specifically, and now TikTok are really powerful and growing, right? And that's probably the competition to Amazon will probably come from there also, right?
Exactly. And I think it's all about, you know, getting in front of customers wherever they are. And that's why we are able to, and we want to connect to every endpoint, is customers are getting information about products everywhere. And so it's all about being where the customers are already shopping. And now they're shopping on Instagram, and we want to make sure that customers can complete transactions there versus having to bounce from one app to another or one website to another.
So one question is, like, when I remember at one point I was working in helping brands create different content because of SEO, because at Google wouldn't like, you know, single content, and you wanted to have different content, right? I feel this is changing a bit, right? Because now the point is more about, okay, how do you get the content to a lot of platforms rather than having a lot of different specific content? Do you think that's correct, or do you still think that, okay, it's still very important to have different contents for different different platforms because of SEO? What's your take on that?
So that one's an interesting one. You know, I think that SEO is continuing to be really important. And what I've found and what we're seeing more and more frequently is that searches are not necessarily about brands. Customers are now shopping and searching by product attribute. So if they're looking for pet food, for instance, they're not always going to search by your brand name, but maybe by dog food or beef-based dog food or something more specific about the attributes of the product. And so I think it's really important that as you're building out your pages and your feature bullets for your products, you're capturing that information so that you can drive more SEO that way. What I do think is really interesting is that each retail endpoint, so let's think about Amazon, Target, and Walmart, they're going to have a lot of the same information. They're all going to require product titles, descriptions, and feature bullets. But each of their requirements is slightly different. And I think that's really to create unique experiences for consumers on each of these different pages. Ultimately, those retailers are also jockeying and competing for consumers' share of search as well. And so to create slightly different experiences across each retail endpoint helps them to also try to bring in more consumers. But ultimately, I think what brands need to focus on is knowing that you need to have a nice blend of both branded search terms and non-branded search terms so you can capture more consumers across the entire purchase journey. And then also be able to provide a blend of both video and still imagery, and provide a blended approach of the different feature bullets that you also include to really drive SEO and to capture consumers, both ones who are loyal to you and new customers as well.
Yeah, so in a sense, it's less about creating a lot of different same kind of text content. It's more about being precise about the right keywords and having different types of content, videos, and then good pictures. And I think you were saying by design, each platform is trying to get a content which is a bit specific in the way they want to have their titles arranged, or the way they're putting the pictures or the videos in forefront. And we were talking about that also, the fact that marketplaces now are moving more and more into a bit of social media. Amazon is doing Amazon Posts, they're doing Amazon Live, they're sort of bringing more social and live things. And on the same side, Facebook, Instagram are doing more of e-commerce. So everyone is trying to get into everyone's field. So that's really interesting. One thing I've often compared or I've been talking about is that, and maybe it will be interesting to see what you think about that, is that for me, a lot of PIMs have come from, you know, very technology-based and PIM-based, and it's like it's a big PIM. So you're organizing content. For me, and then sometimes they've added a bit of syndication through a partner, through something, but it's not always working very well. On the other hand, I feel Salsify came from, they started to be an Amazon partner, and they started from the syndication, and sort of they built the syndication tool, and then they added a PIM, and then they added a DAM. So it makes it a total different position and a much more relevant for e-commerce, because I've seen a lot of other PIMs, which are, the technology is probably great and better, but they're less fitted for e-commerce. What do you feel that's right? Or what's your feeling about that?
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, Salsify, we really are focused on, and why Salsify came to be was that we were focused on addressing that pain point of brands being able to get their content over to those retail endpoints. And the benefit of Salsify is that we continue to grow on the existing platform that we currently exist on. We also see the same thing where other PIMs they bring in other solutions or other tools. Perhaps they're, you know, they've acquired a partner or something. And so the tools don't always sync and they don't always speak well together. But with Salsify, we have everything sitting on one platform. So it works really well together. The user experience is good. And overall, the product is designed to grow with the brand. The brand shouldn't have to feel like they need to grow with Salsify. We want to make this an easy solution to use, so that you can focus more on growing your business on e-commerce rather than figuring out how Salsify operates.
I would agree to that. I think for each brand, that's super important. I think for me talking with also very big brands which have been working on their PIMs, is they've sometimes overseen the syndication part, and that at the minimum you really need to be careful about the syndication, because the future of e-commerce and business in general is this connection between your single source of truth, which is your PIM, and the different platforms where you want to publish your content. So before we open the floor for questions, I had a last question for you. One feature I found super cool on Salsify is the catalogs, where you can publish with a URL your catalog in a way. It looks a bit like a mini website or something, but it's super interesting if you want to share it with a distributor, with retailers, which are much smaller. Was it something you were using when you had your own or when you were working in the pet industry? And, you know, what do you like about that feature yourself?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because we used it actually more internally than we had externally. So we used it as a way to educate our sales teams on our new products. And so we were able to, I think we did it on, I guess, a quarterly basis, where we would go through and create digital catalogs for all of our new products. And it was a great resource for our sales teams to be educated on the product. Sure, we'd have additional communication paths and enablement for our sales team, but it was something for them to tangibly have and have all the new product right in front of them. It would contain everything that a salesperson would need to use when they go to have line reviews with customers. Product information, the feature bullets, descriptions, product imagery, ingredient profiles. It'd also go through pricing information and dimensions and weight. And it was a perfect tool because everything was in one place. It was a one-stop shop where our sales teams would be able to easily access all that information and then feel really confident going into those conversations with the sales, with the retail endpoints. I do think that we plan to also use that in retail conversations, but we primarily focus on using it as a more of an internal enablement and training tool.
I need to unmute, of course. I find it really super useful, and that's a very like a simple feature. You can really make a lot of bring a lot of value to the business you're doing. So if anybody's got any questions, please shoot your questions to us. I have a few questions I had from people who could not join. The first one was about workflows. It's like workflows seems something which is interesting but a bit complicated to understand. Do you have examples from your past experience of what was a workflow and how you used it? How did it make you work better, for example?
So workflows, I agree. I think the name and oftentimes a lot of different software solutions offer workflows, but building them is really complicated and difficult. And so I know from experience that in other solutions, we'd have workflow capabilities, but we really wouldn't leverage them because we're kind of nervous or unsure about how to execute. With Salsify, our UX, our user experience, is really designed to make building a workflow pretty easy. It's a very self-explanatory process where you can click and drag different tasks and build out a workflow. Ultimately, we really want to save our brand customers time, and we don't want workflows to be used as a way to overcomplicate their processes, but to rather simplify processes. You can leverage workflows to alert team members when work needs to be done. For instance, if you need to complete a product refresh and update messaging or feature bullets within Salsify, you can set up a workflow to notify the appropriate team or teammates. You can also leverage Salsify workflows to publish content or to remove specific content from readiness queues as well. And so you can really use the workflows in any real way you need to serve your business. It's all about simplifying the process, but also basically using the workflow to take the work that you're currently doing and simplifying it down to just the click of a button or two.
Yeah. So, and do you have one workflow you've seen or you've used yourself, or which you could share as a, like, I know one we often case, which is specifically for Europe, is about translations. It's like when you create one copy and then it sort of sends a message to the translator to go on Salsify, do the translation, and it's ready. And then it sends another message to someone to proofread, and then the last one to the product manager, for example. That's sort of in Europe makes sense because we have all those languages. Do you have anyone you know or you used in the past specifically? Or
yeah, so it's actually, you know, very, very similar, but we had one where we'd have the workflow kick off, and again it would be usually a brand manager going in and setting up this workflow to say, hey, we know that we have a product refresh coming up, so some of our messaging is going to change. And so the workflow would kick off and alert a specific team member to go in and add the new messaging. Now, from there, they would add the new messaging, and then it would ping our regulatory team to review it just to make sure that everything was in compliance. And then from there, it would be approved one more time, going over to our brand manager for final approval. And then from there, we would be able to syndicate that out to the new retail endpoints.
Okay, cool. Thanks for that example. One thing I wrote about is like reports. So there's a part of Salsify, which is an option, right? You can add to your package, which is about reports. Could you tell us a bit more about those reports and how are they used? There's a report about content, right? There's a report. I think there was one on reviews, but it's maybe less used. And another one, I don't remember on what, but
yeah,
maybe
yeah,
you will help me.
Absolutely, yes. We have it's Salsify Insights, and it's a specific module where we pull out a lot of reporting. Ultimately, it just gives brands the data they need to inform their e-commerce strategy. So we have two particular modules that I'll focus on, the Content Insights reporting, and then we also have Buy Box Insights reporting. The Content Insights really provides reporting metrics for brands to measure their content performance against specific like conversion drivers. So it will be able to look and say, hey, you don't have enough images, and it would give a lower rating and alert the brands to go in and add more imagery. It'll also review the length of feature bullets because, again, the tool will know what conversion drivers are required to get the brand to the next tier of conversion. It will also help to further optimize their content pages for SEO as well. And so it'll identify particular pieces of content that may need further bolstering to drive more content optimization. There's also buy box insight reports. And this really helps to show brands when they're winning the buy box and when they're not winning the buy box. It helps to understand when your inventory dips below a certain threshold. And then within that same module, we also have MAP violation reporting. So MAP is the minimum advertised price. And it identifies when prices drop below the brand's designated price point. Oftentimes, because again, the retailers are competing with themselves as well. If say Amazon drops their price, Walmart will likely short to follow with that price drop. And so in order for brands to remain profitable, they need to be able to monitor their MAP pricing and make sure that it stays at the correct levels. And so that report is particularly useful to ensure profitability for our brands too.
Yeah, so in Europe, MAP is forbidden because you can't have a minimum advertised price, but you can set up a floor minimum where you want to be alerted. But that's really interesting. I have an interesting question. Does syndication affect SEO?
It can, yes. I think that it can kind of go either way. I think it can positively impact SEO if used strategically. So for many searches, because they begin online, Amazon specifically is a huge place where search initially starts. And for brands to make sure that they are visible, it's important to syndicate content with SEO as a major priority. And so like I had mentioned earlier, where you need to have a good blend of both branded and non-branded content terms, it's incredibly important to continue to bake those into your descriptions and your feature bullets so that you can drive better SEO. If you aren't focused on identifying those SEO terms, it's going to be a lot harder to drive visibility for your products.
Makes sense. So it does have an indirect impact. Question I often like to ask is, do you have a success story? So we talked about Mars at the beginning, but do you have another success story and maybe a fail story? Because we learn a lot about failing. Being an entrepreneur, I can tell you that it's very true. So I think it's very interesting to have a bit of both and understand why it was a win or why it wasn't a success, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've had some really great successes. We work closely with Califia Farms, and so they actually leverage Salsify for their direct consumer site, and they were able to start to use their direct consumer site in a way to drive more conversion. Previous to Salsify, they published a lot of their content to their site, but they really weren't seeing a ton of conversion. But once they started to unify and have all of their PIM and DAM information in one spot so that they could easily syndicate to their direct consumer site, they started to feature specific products. And when they started to feature those products, they noticed that their conversion rate jumped. And for a couple of their products, they were able to increase their conversion rate by almost 400% by just using Salsify to help them feature specific products during the course of the quarter and identifying which products were driving the most volume for them. So that was great to see. They were able to use Salsify to really just syndicate, make their process easier, and then drive a ton more conversion. For a fail, being that I'm still fairly new, I don't have something specific to Salsify, but what I can say is that there were times where before we were using Salsify in the pet food space, I personally spent hours of time. Sometimes I spent weeks of my time filling out manual item setup sheets. I'd have to work with our brand team, and then I'd have to go work with our brand product innovation team. And then they conferred with our regulatory team. filled out these item setup sheets. I thought they'd be ready to go. I thought this would be easy to send over to the retailer, and the retailer would say, great, thanks so much. Everything's live on the website. But instead, I found out the hard way that there's additional back and forth then from the retailer. So the retailer, likely a merchandiser or a category manager, reviews those item setup sheets and goes back and forth to me. And they would say, hey, you know, when we said feature bullet, we meant something completely different than what I initially interpreted it as. And so I learned very quickly that each retailer is very, very different, and they all require different content. And so I saw firsthand how much time it takes to get content live when we aren't using a tool like Salsify. And so I think it just goes to show how much of a game changer I truly think Salsify is. You know, I saw it firsthand for myself, and it's great to hear all the success stories that we're seeing from brand partners too, because ultimately e-commerce is not going anywhere, and we need to make sure that we have ways for our brands to get their content live on e-commerce channels.
You know, I have a failed story, which was one of brands we work with. We had a PIM tool, and they spent a lot of time to create different SEO contents. But they found out that their PIM tool was using a syndication tool, which was able to syndicate only one type of content everywhere. So they had to spend a lot of time and money to create all those SEO content, and they were only able to, or the technology was only able to send one type of content. The rest had to be done manually. The learning for me is, for a lot of brands, is to really look at the features and look at what is the tool, what you want to do with the tool. If it's really a very good PIM, or if it's really a good e-commerce tool, for example. And then it's the same when you're looking at Salsify, then looking at, okay, you know, what are you looking in that tool, which will make you different or more efficient. My experience that to scale on e-commerce, Salsify today is the best tool. Talking of that, there has been a lot of reports recently from Forrester Research, from, I think there was 3 or 4 different reports which came out and put Salsify in a very good position in the PIM / syndication tools. Could you tell us a bit about that? I know, so I'm taking you out on that one, because I know there was maybe not details, but what does it say a bit about the environment of PIMs today and where Salsify is at?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we were really honored to be recognized by Forrester, IDC, and then also by Ventana Research as a leader in the PIM market. And, you know, it goes to show that, one, we're completely invested in making sure that our brands have a PIM that they can rely on. It's so important, because we see so many brands where, again, all of their data is very siloed. It's held in multiple locations, and they aren't able to flexibly move quickly. They're not able to collaborate, and they really can't build out their e-commerce presence at scale in that way. And so I think being recognized as a PIM leader is wonderful to see. And it's something that it's a testament to all the work that we're doing in the market. Ultimately, we want to be a good brand partner, because we want to see those brands succeed. It does go to show that the market is becoming incredibly competitive, and we recognize that. But I think that we're uniquely positioned because we also have such great connection points and good relationships with so many different retail endpoints that we're able to continue to publish to any retail endpoint that a brand might require.
Great. Thanks very much. Now, getting into the last part of our discussion today is, do you know of anything which is on the roadmap for Salsify in terms of new features or new things going to happen? There's a lot of new acquisitions. I heard that a company was acquired in Australia now to be who will be sort of the local Salsify. There's a lot of things happening. Could you give us a bit of a taste of what could be coming soon?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So we acquired Alchemix about 6 months ago, and they are supporting our retail partners. You know, initially Salsify was very much focused on supporting brand partners and making sure that their e-commerce presence was well supported. Now we have Alchemix, and that's going to create a great network. We have both the product XM, which is the legacy Salsify, and now we have supplier XM, which is Alchemix. So we're supporting both retailers and brands throughout our Commerce XM network. So we're excited to be able to support both sides of the story now. But we also have recently acquired SKU Vantage. They're based in Australia, and they do a lot of the syndication work that we do today. But our goal is to not just focus on one particular region. We really recognize that brands across the globe are struggling with the same challenges that brands here in the US initially struggled with. And so we want to focus on exploring, you know, all these different regions and making sure that brands across the globe can syndicate to all their retail partners. So we're really excited to partner and have SKU Vantage as part of the Salsify family, just to further our syndication capabilities and publish to more retail endpoints. From a roadmap perspective, I can't, you know, tell you that we're continuing to, you know, put a lot of investment in all of our existing retail partners. We have our retail success team who's focused on making sure that we know when new capabilities exist and when new channels emerge that we may want to build connections to. So right now we are working through a new API on Amazon for above the fold content. So we'll have more information in the coming weeks related to that. We're currently working on our customer migration plans there. But we also have some really neat APIs for below the fold on Amazon, some good work for Walmart coming up as well. So we're really excited for what's to come in 2022 because we see huge opportunity to continue to better optimize the retailers and the connections that we have today.
Awesome. I have a couple of questions coming up. Endpoints requirements, so marketplaces, for example, anywhere you send content to. So endpoint requirements could change very often. How Salsify could follow these changes and inform customers so that they can update their data? So is there a proactive way of saying, okay, let's say Amazon, that happens often, changes attributes or the category has changed, and how does that sort of feedback directly to customers? Is there a way of are they informed? How does that work?
Yeah, so it varies by retailer, but the best way for us to understand and recognize when retail requirements change is when we have those direct connections. So I'll use Amazon as an example. We have this new API that we're rolling out. And with this new API, we're connecting to it and we're going to have real-time requirement schema updates. So if they change any of their requirements, we will know immediately and be able to update that and reflect it in the readiness report. So when customers go to publish that content, it'll flag that there are new requirements or changed requirements directly in the readiness report within Salsify. Now, there are some retailers where we're currently using templated exports, and so it is slower for us to get those retail requirement changes. Typically, we have to work really closely with the brand customers because they'll be able to give us a new template. We'll go in and add that into the Salsify instance that they're in and help them build that connection. But those particular processes typically are a little bit longer. The connections that we have that are automated gave us the ability to see those requirements change in almost real time.
Yeah, so it depends a bit on the marketplace. The more technological, let's say, or integrated it is, the better the information, because it will flow with the API both sides. But so to be precise on the question, the system will not ping us, for example, that there's a change. You have to go to your readiness report, which is the syndication part, let's say. So you have to go to that report to see that there has been some changes, right?
Yes, you're not going to get an immediate email, although I think you can set up workflows to let you know of that, but you won't get an initial email or notification. But once you log into Salsify, we find, you know, a lot of our brands are probably publishing, you know, at least a few times throughout the quarter. And so at that point, they will notify and realize that the readiness report has been updated.
And another question is, if you lose content, like you've sent content to Amazon, Walmart, whatever, and then content gets lost, which happens sometimes, you know, for whatever reason, the picture's not showing or another title is showing. Does the system, so does the system report that or reflect it, or you have to have your own watchtower, let's say? How does that work?
So with a lot of the APIs, we're able to let customers know if something were to change where there was an error and something couldn't be published. That being said, we recognize that a lot of brands, especially on marketplaces, you know, like a Walmart or Amazon, have a lot of different sellers competing for the same real estate. And so right now, we're working with our retail partners so that we have the prioritization where they're looking to publish the content coming from Salsify first, but we also are looking for additional reporting capabilities so we can identify like that last mile visibility. So that's more to come. We're definitely looking into more visibility into exactly when the product content that we send actually goes live. What we're finding is typically, especially with more direct connections, it most likely gets live pretty soon after, but it does require the brands to monitor it somewhat, but we're looking to eliminate that need for our brands to have to monitor moving forward.
Okay, so in terms of what I was talking about, managing expectations, maybe that's one thing or one thing we could flag is that, like the fact that the content is really appearing on the front end, it can be something which is not easily found out, because on the platform and typically on Amazon, you could have everything okay on the back end, but not presented on the front end. So there is, here again, I think there is no magic here. And if there is at the end point some technical issues or of cataloging or anything, that's something you have to be aware that you have to have an eye on things. It's not going to work by magic, but which is true also with the manual work anyway, so there's no change on that point. Another question, which will probably be the last question of that session, is which is a very interesting one, I find. How do you get more reviews in your listings, which is a very generic question, but let's frame it with Salsify in mind. How would you respond that in the Salsify sort of frame?
You know, that one's an interesting question, because I think that there's a layer of needing to inform customers whether or not certain reviews are more sponsored than not. There is not a way through Salsify where you would request more reviews. And so that's something that I think is just outside of the scope of Salsify right now. I think what I'm seeing, I personally have been, followed up with by brands to submit additional reviews, but that's outside of the scope of Salsify at the moment.
So yeah, the answer from the Amazon expertise side is that you have to go, if you're talking about Amazon specifically, you have the Vine program, for example, you have tools which can help you if you're a seller, Feedback 5, for example, which are tools which are available in the market, which will help you in a way which is authorized by Amazon to get to foster reviews. On the Salsify side, I would agree with Sarah, it's probably linked to having great content, and so people will be convinced and buy, and if they have a good description, they should be happy with what they're getting and not say, oh, I saw it was blue and I'm getting red or whatever. Having great content and the right tool to publish the right content will help customers be happy with what they're getting. So I think this was the last question, a tricky question for you, Sarah. Thank you very much for being there, for taking your lunch break with us, because it's lunchtime in Texas, in Austin today, right now. Thank you very much for everyone for joining. We have webinars every 2 weeks, and we are happy to have hosts from different tools and different partners. Be well. Have a great evening for the ones in Europe, and a good afternoon for the ones in the States. Thank you very much, everyone. And thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Jim. I really appreciate it. Thanks, all.
Yeah, bye-bye.